Was there a point in time when you started to allow yourself to feel and you really recognized that you were in that process of not really allowing people to be in their process but trying to fix?
I mean, it's been shown to me over and over again, and I'm a slow learner. So, you know, I think that I remember kind of sensing into that probably by my late 20s, something like that. Having kids was an important part of that realization. Right. Kids are an interesting thing because it is that one moment where it's like, I really can't go on that journey with that person. You know, they are truly on their own journey. And I think it took me a couple of years of parenting before I really had that experience. With my first kid, I was like, oh, see, they're like, I'm a great parent, like a great son. And he's so easy and blah, 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 and all this. And clearly he's in some amalgamation of mom and I. And we're so amazing because we created this thing. And we're good parents because we love this thing and all this. And then your second comes along and they're so radically different than your first. That you're like, oh, we actually have nothing to do with this situation.
Yeah.
They this came through this.
Like, yeah, this is actually nature, not nurture.
This is a being.
Yes, yes.
I'm a being over here, and together we are us. You know, it's like just so amazing to see the variety that can come through, you know, seemingly nearly identical genetics from one child to the next, and yet vastly different
beings.
That's
like, how can you not believe in souls coming in? When you see children, you're like, these, how is, like, me and my sister even, you're like, how, we grew up in the same environment.
Yeah.
And we're so different.
Yeah. Yeah. So all this nature and nurture conversation is always like, well, you know, same food, same everything. And identical twins are interesting in that, you know, it's like, here's identical genes given the same food every day. And yet they drift apart and they become different people and they have different personalities. And they have different passions and they have different things, and that, you know, makes them unique to one another over time. And so, yeah, you're right. There's an original imprint outside of the genetics that makes us who we are. And that soul imprint or that soul pattern, which is an energetic thing, right? What is a soul? I guess, you know, I used to have a pretty vague spiritual sense of like, well, that's maybe the thing that comes from God. The longer I've been in biology, especially when you're in a cell biology lab and you watch cells behave under a microscope again and again, it's really clear that they are seeing a blueprint that's not physical. And so you can literally watch cells line up and behave as if they're following a roadmap. And they're cells. They have no brain. They have no sense of intent of being me. And yet they will behave in this extraordinarily intelligent system. And bizarrely, it's non-local. And so if I draw your blood right now, I could draw two tubes of blood and drive it 45 minutes across Santa Monica and then call up your colleague here and say, okay, give her the aspirin now. And she gives you an aspirin. And immediately those tubes of blood will look like they just got aspirin. All the platelets will change shape and everything else. And so those cells know who you are still and know they're part of you and are following your template. And whatever's happening to you is happening to all of you. And that gets pretty trippy when we think about what we're doing through medicine right now with all these living transplants.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking.
Like, so transplant an organ, something happens to you, it's going to change in that person too. And so the kidney you just gave your cousin is going to respond to you probably more than it's going to respond to your cousin's environment. Certainly, cousin's environment could damage the kidney. But at no point is that kidney going to take on the identity of your cousin, no matter what. And so that's pretty damn intriguing to me of like, whoa, what is a soul? Okay. It is an energy field that allows one cell to start to divide into 70 trillion cells. And then those 70 trillion cells somehow know how to self-differentiate into dozens of different organ systems that travel through hundreds of different systems of communication to become a single human body that works in this symphony. And that all self-organized in your mother's womb. So, and it happens again and again. And there's 10 toes and there's 10 fingers and these babies come out. They might be starving. They might be, mom might have been you know, a heroin addict, still 10 toes, 10 fingers, and the kid comes out. And so it's such a miraculously powerful signal sitting there in the vacuum space, the energy field that allows us to self-organize again and again. And then we injure ourselves and somehow our body still tunes in. When I cut myself deeply, my skin grows right back to where it was before. And so even though it was a gaping wound with a completely different architecture and geography to it a few days ago, it will return to the original geography again. There might be a little bit of sense of scar tissue there, but it's at the same level of skin. It's there. It's like, how did my arm know to grow back to my arm? Express arm again. And so that's interesting. That's like Armageddon, right? And so, wow. We're going to express arm again. And so that is what this extinction event is going to be, a deep wound. And then we were going to reorganize life around the original plan, the original map. And interestingly, the original map can re-express itself differently when there's a complete death, when there's a complete extinction. There's a whole set of laws of physics that are extremely rigidly held by nature. And the first one is that you can neither create or destroy energy. You can only change its form. And so at this stage of my expression of body, it will keep repeating my body. It disappears and reappears about every millionth of a second. And so I'm re-expressing self constantly, a million times a second. When I choose to let go of that physical form, that same energy center cannot be destroyed. And so you can imagine it could choose to express biology in some sort of human form again, or it can re-express itself perhaps as a star or whatever it is, you know? And so it's like the energy can only change form and re-express a new pattern, but the pattern is informed by the original as well. So it's a very intriguing thing of, we know who we are right now, but this is a temporary decision to express ourselves as human from that original energetic center that we would call a soul. So the whole thing is difficult to wrap our heads around, even more difficult to wrap our words around. And I think the only way to really experience what it means to be the miracle of life is to ultimately feel. And that's been my slow journey, I think, into all of this, is I had to stop thinking so hard and I needed to start to feel. And that started to make me into the physician that I had hoped to be, and that I forgot that I could be, perhaps. Because when I was just a kid working in midwifery in the Philippines, I had no book knowledge. I was a mechanic. I worked on construction fields. I was just a blue-collar kid. And suddenly thrust into this environment, all I could do was feel the miracle of it. And so after 6 months of that, I came back to the States, quit my engineering plan, and went into medicine. Because I felt something there that I had never felt before. It was miraculous to be around the birthing process. It was miraculous to see human bodies come out of nothing and then form themselves in the womb of a woman, and then see that woman have the innate knowledge on how to get that baby out of herself, and then see that baby, the innate knowledge of who it is, and then express a personality over time and express a whole arc of growth and maturation. And I mean, it's so out there, and I could just feel in my body as that kid watching this whole thing happen of, I want to be a part of that vibration that is miracle, because it was so much beauty. And when you held a little 3-pound, 4-pound baby in the Philippines, it changes everything. Like, how does this being exist? And then how does it express itself with such certainty? And I think that's the unsettling thing about seeing a baby born, especially if it's your own child being born. It's unsettling how sure that thing seems to be about it is, because you as a parent don't feel very sure about who you are anymore. You have deep insecurities. And to look into the eyes of a newborn child is to be seen by a human for the first time. Because that being doesn't have an ego yet. That being hasn't been trained out of its connection to source. That being is the only one that can see you. And for that, it can only see beauty. And for that, it will develop this bizarre, unconditional love for you that no matter how messed up you are as a person or a parent, that thing's going to still love you on some weird level, because it saw you. In that first moment of life, it looked up and it saw your face, and that's unconditional love. And we can get the same thing from nature.
That's how I feel with animals.
I think that's exactly right. Your dog, it sees your face, unconditional love. But miraculous is also that tree out there that's been staring at me this whole time. That thing can actually see me. That thing can see me. It doesn't see it with eyes. It sees me with an energy field. It can sense my energy field for probably 45 minutes before I got here. Mm. It's feeling me approach. It's feeling me come into its space. It's feeling me be witness to it. And that giant tree with that massive canopy is feeling my love frequency because I'm seeing its beauty, which triggers in me this frequency that we call love. And when it gets hit with that vibration, it sends back to me an unconditional state of love of you. I'm seen by you, therefore you are loved.
Mm.
And so whether it be a newborn child, the tree, the lion, dog, the cat, nature is witnessing you all the time and sees your beauty and knows you are valuable.
Mm.
We are maturing as humanity to start to be able to see that in ourselves and in one another.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Morning Microdose by Almost 30.
We hope you enjoyed waking up.
As always, we encourage you to take what resonates and leave the rest. If you enjoyed this trip, tune into the full episode on the Almost 30 podcast. All episode information can be found in the show notes.
Make sure to subscribe, and if this becomes a part of your morning routine, be sure to share it with a friend. We have new inspiring doses Monday through Friday. Follow us on Instagram at Morning Microdose and follow Almost 30 at Almost 30 Podcast.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you in the vortex.